All right. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. Please take your Bibles and turn with me over to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. We're going to start with some thoughts there in Romans 3, 23. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there is one in the pew in front of you, and I'm sure someone can help you find your place there. Romans 3, 23. I am thankful for all who have come today, and I think one of my heroes who came today, I think, has credit for coming the longest distance. I won't tell you where he's from, but I'm thankful for various people in my life and all who have come today. Romans 3:23, I hope you're finding your place there. We'll learn just an important truth about who we are before a holy God. But as we get into some thoughts here over the next few moments, I want us to honor the greatest hero in the Bible. And it's not hard to figure out who that person is. I won't keep it a secret very long. Jesus Christ. He is the greatest hero in the Bible. And as we recognize people who are important in our lives, for many of the people here this morning, Jesus Christ is at the top of the list. There is no one like him who has ever existed. And we're thankful for the people who take care of things for us here or give us a special gift there or do things for us all the time and serve us. What a difference that makes in our lives. But there is a person, Jesus Christ, who can make a difference in your life more than anyone else. And I'd like to share a little about who he is from the Bible. There are many heroes actually mentioned in the Bible, and we could talk about how King David was used of God to kill a giant named Goliath. What an amazing story there. We could study David's mighty men. He had some soldiers who were very strong and very intelligent with the ways of war. And we could study his mighty men this morning and learn of Adrino, who destroyed 800 enemies of God's people with a spear. An amazing story. Samson was the strongest man who ever lived, and he was a hero in his day. Zealous Peter, by faith, walked on water. Really? You can read about it in the Bible. Walked on water by faith, and he preached the salvation of God. Paul was a very important hero in the Bible, and he traveled the world for Christ and gave everything to serve his Lord. But the greatest hero in the Bible, without any doubt, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like us to, as we get close to the end of this service, take some time to honor that greatest hero, the greatest hero, Jesus. Would you recognize him today? And would you honor him in your life? Now, heroes are made through several different things. What makes a hero? What causes a hero to rise up in our eyes and cause us to say, wow, and to honor them? What is it that makes a hero? I would say, number one, you need an emergency. An emergency is something that makes a hero out of a person. You think of the firefighters who will charge into that flaming building. You think of the police officers who will put their life on the lines. You think of someone who helps you with a health situation or something like that. There is a critical situation and someone comes along to help that emergency. Do you understand that every single one of our souls has an emergency? Every single one of us have a soul that is in a critical condition. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Dan? Well, a soul that the Bible talks about can be understood this way. It's the real you. It's the part of you that the Bible speaks of that goes on living forever and ever. It's a really amazing thing. The soul is the eternal part of you. When a baby is conceived, that new soul begins, that new life begins. And the Bible teaches how that life continues on and on and on forever. And so we each have a soul, the Bible says, but the Bible teaches us here in Romans 3:23, if you have your place there, that soul of yours is in a critical condition. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It teaches us about something about the real us. And and our position before a holy God, it says that we have all sinned. Now, some people, it takes a little convincing to help them believe that, but then others are like, yeah, I'm a sinner. Definitely. But you may be one that says, well, you know, I think I'm a pretty good person. Well, do you recognize what the Bible says about you? I'm not trying to be mean, but I'll be the first to admit, I agree with that statement. I'm a sinner. It says, for all have sinned. And it doesn't take long when you think about it this way. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever cheated somebody? It doesn't take long before you realize, yes, there's some things that I've done wrong. That is true. For all have sinned. And it says, and come short of the glory of God. Basically, you're in an emergency situation. God's glory is so pure and wonderful, and you're falling short of it because of the sin problem. Now, Jesus has an important part in all of this, and we'll get to him specifically more. But first, we have to understand the emergency that Jesus has risen up to address in our lives. And the emergency is our souls are in a critical condition. The Bible teaches us of heaven and hell, and it teaches us that they are real places and that the just punishment for sin in our hearts, in our lives, is hell. The just punishment for sin before a holy God. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 36, for there is no man which sinneth not. So none of us this morning can say, I'm not part of what that says there, for all have sinned. I'm doing pretty good. It says, for there is no man which sinneth not. Romans 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, it says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You may say, I don't know, I understand all this. It sounds a little odd to me hearing all these Bible verses, but I want to help you understand the critical condition that the soul of every person is in. There is an emergency, and there's a sin problem that needs to be dealt with. We don't have to look far in the news or around in our communities to realize there is a sin problem. People want to do what they want to do. They don't want to honor authority. They don't want to obey. They don't want to do what is right for the most part. They default to serving themselves. They default to selfishness. That's why we have heroes here today who have chosen not to default to that at some point. And that's a wonderful thing. But the natural thing is for us to sin, to break the law of a holy God. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses or all the good things that we could try to do before a holy God, they are as filthy rags. That's how holy God is. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away, it says. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, you could just take your Bible and turn over a page to see that verse. In chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You see, that's why I'm telling you your soul is in a critical condition. That's why I'm telling you there is an emergency that needs to be addressed in all of our lives. Because the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. So we have all broken God's law, and there is a punishment for sin. There's a wage, something that we earn for sinning, and it is death, the Bible says. The Bible makes it clear that death is not just a physical death that we all understand pretty easily, but it's a spiritual death as well. You see, I mentioned earlier that a soul goes on living forever. The physical body dies, but the soul does not. It goes on in a sense, but it has a spiritual death at some point. Because God must judge sin. And if that soul is not right before God, then that soul will also experience spiritual death. That is the judgment of God upon that soul. That is an eternity separated from God. Death is a separation, whether physical or spiritual. Eternal separation from God in a place called hell. The Bible teaches us these things. And so I want you to understand that there is an emergency and your soul is in a critical condition. Number two, though, how are heroes made? Heroes are made when there's an emergency, but number two, when there is sacrifice. When there's sacrifice. The ultimate demonstration of heroism is when someone gives up their life for another person. Sacrifice. You don't have to search far. Maybe reading a book about World War II or some other war or some other emergency situation. You don't have to read far, look very hard before you come across a human being that paid the ultimate price for another. It's an amazing thing. Amazing stories that we could read of and reference this morning. But that is indeed the ultimate sacrifice, when someone lays down their life for another person. Do you understand that Jesus did that for you? He laid down his life for you. He made the ultimate sacrifice, the Bible teaches us. You can turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we would see that this is what the Bible tells us about Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You see, this is the ultimate sacrifice, when someone is willing to put their life down and lose it for another. No greater love can be shown than that. And we read in the Bible, we learn how Jesus is the one who made the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world. He was the only one who could pay for our sins. He was the only one who could satisfy the holy God who would judge the world. And he sacrificed himself, friends, so that we might live. You see, earlier I was talking about how the soul, it goes on forever, but it can go through spiritual death if it's not right with God. Eternally then separated from God. But Jesus died in the place of your soul. At one point many years ago, when Jesus walked on this earth, he died. They put him on a mock trial and falsely accused him of things that he'd never done because he was God himself. And God cannot sin. And so they did that to him. They killed him. But it was all part of God's plan. Not an easy thing. Not something that was simple for Jesus to go through. It was a very hard thing. But yet he did it for you. And I won't get into the details of it all. But the fact is, Jesus died for the sins of the world. And he didn't deserve to. You and I did. Because God is a holy God. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "And this was manifested," or shown, "the love of God toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died." Excuse me, my eyes skipped. The love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Again, that idea of living through someone else. So someone died so that someone else could live. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so that your soul could find true life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, these are familiar verses to many people, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let me explain some of that. It says how God so loved the world. He loved your soul so much, even though you had broken his law, even though you at times choose to live very selfishly, he loved you so much. Knowing that you would turn against him, knowing that you would sin, he loved you so much that Jesus, his son, he sent Jesus to die in your place, to pay for your sins. And the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believes in Jesus, should not perish. What does that mean? Should not perish means that soul can be forgiven of all those sins and not have to spend an eternity separated from God. That soul can be forgiven. That soul does not have to perish, but instead have everlasting life. Live forever in heaven. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. God is not against you. He loves you. But that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. You see, that was God's plan from the beginning. He made this world. Mankind turned against him, broke God's law, became sinful. And yet God had a plan to fix it all. And the plan was Jesus. It would take sacrifice. There was certainly an emergency to address, but God's plan was that he himself, Jesus, would make the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, to pay for what we ourselves should have to pay for before a holy God. So heroes are made through, number one, emergencies. Number two, heroes are made through sacrifice. But finally, I want you to see heroes are made, number three, through recognition. Recognition. We've taken time this morning to recognize the heroes in our lives. And I guess you could argue with me a little bit and say, well, they're heroes whether we recognize them or not. But doesn't it make it so much more special to recognize them? And really, you know, in a lot of ways, they're not heroes until people are willing to recognize them. Until people lift them up a little bit and say, that's what they did for me. No one may ever know the story. No one may ever recognize them until it's brought out into the open and told. And so recognition is very important. That's part of making a hero. To lift them up, to take some time to honor them. There has to be an emergency. There has to be some sacrifice, and there needs to be some recognition today. Recognition of the greatest hero in the Bible. Jesus is worthy of all recognition. And I would like to take us to one final passage, Philippians chapter 2. Go back in your Bible a little bit toward the right, and you'll get to Philippians. It's a passage, chapter of about four chapters long, book of four chapters long, and in chapter 2 and verses 8 through 11, we see how Jesus is getting recognition that he deserves. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now let's pause right there. The writer of Paul here is talking about how Jesus came to this earth. He, Almighty God, was willing to humble himself and live amongst men, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We already talked about that today, not the cross specifically, but Jesus died in our place. And it did happen on an old Roman cross, very cruel way of execution. But notice what the verse continues on to say, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now this is God describing to us what should happen for the recognition of what Jesus has done. Every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. That should happen even now. He is worthy. It doesn't, though. Because there are many people who either don't know these truths from the Bible, or they're not willing to recognize Jesus as the Lord of their lives, as the Savior of the world. It doesn't happen now as it should, but friends, I'm telling you today, it will happen someday. There will come a day when every knee will bow. When this world is over and God decides the time is up, every knee one day will bow to worship, to lift up Jesus, the Savior of the world. He is worthy. Every tongue will confess someday to say, yes, Jesus is God. Yes, Jesus is the one who died for the sins of the world. It says here, that will happen someday. I wonder, friend, would you let it happen in your life now? Because he is worthy now of your recognition. He is worthy now of us lifting him up. Would you do that even in your heart today? The Bible shows us how Jesus was recognized in many ways when he was still on this earth. Of course, many followed him. Many were listening to his teachings, but then he was taken away from his followers, and God's plan was unfolding. He was put to death by the Roman soldiers and the Jewish rulers, and Jesus was gone, or so his followers thought. But what happened was, and we'll celebrate it in 2 weeks, Jesus rose again from the dead, proving that he has the power over sin and over death and the capability to give you and I eternal life. If he could give himself life, he can give it to you and I as well. But what happened when he came back to life is he met some of his followers again. And he talked with them and he encouraged them because they didn't know what to think about all this. Here we knew this man, this one, Jesus, our master, has died. They put him to death. And here he is walking and talking to us again. I would think a thing or two about that too. But they recognized that this was for real. They recognized that Jesus was indeed a victorious hero, and he still is alive today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, in whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. There is proof of this. And was seen of them 40 days, and he showed, and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It says in Mark chapter 16, verse 14, that he appeared unto the 11 disciples. This was after he had died. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, it says how he was seen of over 500 people at once. Over 500 people could all go and testify that, yes, indeed, that man who was dead, we saw him alive again. You see, Jesus is recognized as a victorious hero. He was back then, and he even is today. There are many people in this church, we believe Jesus is alive. He's given us the strength that we can be right before God. We can have our sins forgiven. That gift of eternal life is ours. But I wonder, have you recognized him as a victorious hero in your life? You know, recognizing something is one thing. You can think about it in a very simple term, where you recognize, yes, that indeed is a fact, or yes, that exists. There can be simple recognition, but I'm talking about a recognition that goes deeper than that. Faith is more than just a simple recognition. And I wonder, have you ever recognized Jesus, the greatest hero in the Bible, with that kind of recognition? Faith. What is faith? Faith is deeper. Faith is dependence. Faith is relying upon Jesus. You see, we've learned from the Bible that we are sinners. We must be punished before God is holy, because God is holy. That's an emergency. Jesus has sacrificed for us. He is a hero because of it. He has taken our place already. He's paid for our sins. We must recognize him today, but it says in Rome, in John 3:16 that we are to believe on him. You see, believing is the same thing. It's dependence. It's faith. It's not just a simple recognition, yes, I believe Jesus was alive, or yes, I believe he did many miracles, yes, I believe he was a good person, yes, I believe that maybe even he died for the sins of the world. No, it's deeper than that. Faith is dependence. Believing on Jesus for salvation before a holy God is relying on Jesus to be your answer for your sin problem, for your emergency. And so many recognize Jesus in a simple term. But then what they do in reality is they go and they put their dependence upon living a good life. Friends, many people have fallen into that trap of thinking that they need to be good enough. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It is dependence upon what Jesus has done. It is relying upon his death for you, not how good you can be before a holy God. Understand as we close here this morning that you cannot be good enough to fix your emergency. You cannot be good enough to earn God's forgiveness. You must choose to depend upon what Jesus has done. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Not through living a good life, through faith. Of course, faith in what Jesus has done. It says, "And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Jesus has already paid for your sins. Would you recognize that by faith today? Would you turn to him? As we close here this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to honor the greatest hero in the Bible. And we can do that in several ways. I'm going to ask that we just kind of have a private time between ourselves and God. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. That will help us do that. And I'm not trying to do anything odd here or anything strange, but I do want you to think as you have your eyes closed and it's you and God now. And I want to encourage you to think about the message about the greatest hero in the Bible. And I want to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus today. If you never have, maybe you're here today and you are not sure that your sins are indeed forgiven before a holy God. You don't know that if you've ever made the choice to trust in Jesus alone. Maybe you've thought up to this point that, well, I'll try to live a good life and maybe that will do it. Maybe I'll be okay if I'm kind to my neighbor or I don't get in trouble with the law. Maybe I'll be all right before God when my time comes. I want to give you an opportunity, though, to leave all that thinking behind and come to Jesus alone, to depend upon him and nothing else, because the Bible teaches that's the only way you can have salvation and forgiveness of your sins. Jesus alone. It's a private time between you and God right now. No one's looking around. Pastor might be to help if anyone needs some assistance here, but I just want to ask a question or two as you have your eyes closed and your heads bowed and you're thinking, are there some here who would say, you know, Pastor Dan, I know for sure that I am forgiven of all my sins today and I have eternal life through Jesus today. I know that to be a fact. I understand what you're talking about. If that's you before God, would you just slip up your hand? I would love to see if that's your testimony. Amen. Good. There's many people that understand that fact. My sins are forgiven before a holy God. And I have eternal life today. But I wonder if there's maybe some here that you don't, maybe some of these things are new to you from the Bible. And I wonder if you would say today, you know, I'm not sure that I am forgiven of my sins. I'm not sure today. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Anyone at all? I don't mean to point you out. Thank you. I see that. I do want to pray for you. If there's anyone else, just slip up your hand. You say, Pastor Dan, I'm just being honest. I'm not sure if my sins are forgiven. Anyone else? Just slip up your hand. You know, if you're not sure, then I would encourage you, don't wait another day. You're dealing with eternity here. You're dealing with an emergency of your soul. And tomorrow is not guaranteed to come. You can be sure today. I've shown you from the Bible how to be sure. But it's only a choice that you can make. Would you choose to trust in Jesus alone? There likely are some here this morning with some genuine questions about eternity, and I want to encourage you, please don't hesitate to speak with Pastor Sean after the service. You need to get answers for eternity today. And so would you do that? I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond now, though. We all please stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. You are welcome to not wait another second. You can come to Jesus now and get these answers. Now, stepping out of your pew and coming to talk to Pastor Sean or having me pray for you, those things don't save you and make you right before God. But it's an invitation for you to come and get the answers from the Bible of how you can depend upon Jesus alone. And so we're going to have a music play, and I invite you, if you need to be saved today, would you come? If you're not sure that your sins are forgiven, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I don't mean to embarrass anyone, but we're dealing with an emergency here of your soul. And if you're not sure that you're right before God today, that your sins are forgiven, that you have God's gift of eternal life, would you come and get some help? I encourage you to just step out and come to the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Let's go ahead and you can look this way. And let's find our hymnals now and turn to, what is it, 167, Amazing Grace or something like that.